Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Here Be Monsters for Sunday, February 17th. We have a little something for you to listen to by way of introduction today. Listen up, please.
The deep, there were thousands of people who wanted to be with us today to go man the barricades, woman the barricades over there. The DC police would only allow 50, but we are surrogates for the people who feel strongly enough about this issue to go get arrested. We have to do this because our democracy has been subverted, our laws have been subverted. It is a boondoggle of monumental proportions. I say it's criminal, and I say that not lightly. I'm an officer of the court. I'm not supposed to break the law. But when you have no recourse in our democracy, legally or democratically, we not only have the right, but we have the duty to break the law, to show our discontent, and to put political pressure on the president, who I know is going to do the right thing in the long run. This project is a criminal enterprise. I say it's criminal, and I say that not lightly. They have subverted our laws. They have used that this is an industry, this is a boondoggle that's going to enrich a few billionaires like the Koch brothers by impoverishing everybody else, all of the rest of humanity, and by destroying the future for this planet. If they build this pipeline, it is game over for climate change. They're building it because we can't sue them. We ought to be able to. We ought to be able to sue them under common law tort for destroying my son here, Connor, and asthma. And on bad air days, which are caused by this company, he gets asthma attacks. They are stealing the air from his lungs. We have a Puget Sound keeper. For 7 years, they haven't been able to have oysters in Puget Sound because of the acidification of the ocean. That's coming from carbon. These people are stealing the fish from our water, which we own. They are committing these crimes, but they've been able to wire the capital and wire, you know, all of the institutions and regulatory agencies that are, and capture the agencies that are supposed to be protecting the public from pollution. They've done that. The oil industry this year reported $100 billion in profits. That's not revenue. That's pure profit. That is the richest industry in the history of mankind. This, and they are funneling those profits, a lot of them, right here to Capitol, and they've made many of our congressmen, including many Democrats and every Republican, into indentured servants for their industry, into sock puppets for their industry. They've created this entire infrastructure of phony think tanks all over Capitol Hill and stocked them with phony tobacco scientists that call bioinstitutes to lie to the American public about global warming. And we know this, that, you know, they're telling us that we have to choose for jobs, and we know that that is a false choice. In 100% of the situations, good environmental policy is identical to good economic policy if we want to measure our economy. Yeah. And this is how we ought to be measuring it, based upon how it boosts jobs and the dignity of jobs over the generation. If we want to do what Xcel is telling us to do, which is to treat the planet as if it were a business in liquidation, convert our natural resources to cash as quickly as possible, have a few years of pollution-based prosperity, we can generate an instantaneous cash flow. We can make the Koch brothers billionaires, but our children are going to pay for our joyride. And they're going to pay for it with denuded landscapes, poor health, and huge cleanup costs that are going to amplify over time and that they'll never be able to pay. Environmental injury is deficit spending, it's immoral, and we need to man and women those barricades in order to stop it. So let's go to the barricade.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Bobby Kennedy Jr. speaking on Tuesday of this week, the beginning of a Forward on Climate week in Washington to bring President Obama's awareness up about his own words from the State of the Union on getting tough on climate change and doing something about it. For the first time, he's gone and got himself arrested. He was arrested with the likes of Julian Bond, Naomi Klein, Daryl Hannah, Bill McGibbon, with, you know, 350.org, our good pal Sherry Foytlin with Gulf Change, and also our other good friend Julia Trigg Crawford from Texas, also Imani White, healer and musician. The Hip Hop Caucus has been there, and Freemasons are there supporting this. Today was the first largest climate change rally in the country in Washington on the Mall. They figure there was somewhere between 35 and 40,000 people there.
Great. Good.
Decolonizers, occupiers, anonymous masked protesters, and a large, large flank after flank of Idle No More indigenous people from just all over the place, up and down the whole Eagle's Wing of this continent, were there today. And did you hear about it on any of the Sunday talk shows? No, you effing didn't.
Of course not. It's mainstream media. They ignore all the important stuff to present bland nonsense.
No, that's right, because what do they sell with this? What will this sell? It's not selling any of the products that their corporate holders are interested in having, you know, put up for sale as far as news being the product that it is today. And where was President Obama? President Obama is less than 30 miles away from me right now playing golf with his corporate toady friends. That's where President Obama is. Mm-hmm. But it does not change the fact that out in L.A., they had a large one, too, and you probably figure that it was bigger than Washington because California has quite a contingency of activists for the environment out there.
Yeah, they're very attuned to it.
Yes, and the Sierra Club, for the first time in over 100 years, got out there and got themselves arrested with Bobby Kennedy. And
okay.
The rest of them. And now there's a lot of people who will say that the Sierra Club is a corporate toady itself. But the truth is that they got out there and they stood up. I mean, there's guys
they
that
took
were
a stand.
Talking,
good for them.
Yeah, that were Freemasons out there saying, we're Masons and we're here because you're right and the government's wrong and we're standing with you.
Excellent.
Now, we are crossing some significant social lines here when you get that kind of action. The countless indigenous communities and the overseeing organizers include people like Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, what we've got going on here are people organizing. And please, folks out there listening, pay attention. It's called Forward on Climate. And whatever you can do to get the word out and bring the awareness up, because this is the line we're drawing in the sand, the tar sand, is the line we're drawing in the tar sand to say no to the XL pipeline and TransCanada. They've taken Julia's family farm and they've, what do you call, dear goodness, you know.
Eminent domain?
Eminent domained her without even having their doggone I's dotted and T's crossed to have the contracts there yet. But they eminent domain her, and she's having to fight all the way to the Supreme Court. But she's doing it. She's doing it because people are waking up, and it's through mostly independent media and guys like Dennis Traynor and Punk Patriot and us and Era Martifio and AWOP Radio, little guys who are out there doing what Jack and I do every Sunday here. And what our guest does, too, today, our guest is a blogger who is one of what I always think of as the old crew, man, because when we started blogging together out there, we all have Blogspot blogs.
Yeah.
We had conversations and knew one another only through comments that we made on each other's blogs, whether we were like-minded or not, we were like of heart.
Right.
And today we have with us one of that crew, Mr. Wayne Johnson, who's the author of the Engineer of Knowledge blog,
and he also writes sporadically on Man with the Muckrake.
Right, and that's engineerofknowledge.wordpress.com.
Right.
And it's manwiththemuckrake.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. He, Mr. Johnson, and I have a small bio here. Mr. Johnson has a degree in applied science and electrical engineering, and he works both in mechanical and electrical engineering disciplines. He's proud to state that he has a 150-year-old family legacy of belonging to the Republican Party, but is saddened to the level of extremism the Republican Party has currently gone in the last two decades, which is something you hear quite a bit of. And I suppose in a way I could say the same because I came out of a Republican family.
Oh, yeah.
He's actively working to educate, disseminate correct data and facts because to correct the inaccurate misinformation being propagated by current Republican leadership and their attitudes towards the working middle classes, which has downgraded the working middle classes' standard of living stratification within this country. Really, I mean, first of all, Wayne, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. The pleasure is truly mine.
Yeah, welcome aboard, Wayne.
Well, thank you, Jack. One of the things I happened to hear there, you said that the Freemasons were involved out in California?
No, in Washington.
In Washington.
Oh, in Washington. Well, okay. I myself am a 32nd degree in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, and I'm kind of glad to hear my fellows, the Brotherhood, is stepping up on this issue. Also, too, when you spoke about the disinformation of global warming and stuff, one of the things I'd like to point out, and the main media not bringing it out, was the Koch brothers actually handpicked their own climatologist, gave him a funding of somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000 to do his own private study of global warming, and much to their demise, the results came back was, yes, there is global warming, and yes, it is man-made. But unfortunately, that's not what the Koch brothers wanted to put forth, because they're the biggest funders of this disinformation.
Right.
And, so, again, it was buried. Not many people know that fact.
Great. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's always good to see the Koch brothers waste their money and have it blow up in their face.
Absolutely. Well stated there, Jack. Very well stated.
We should mention here, we've been following Wayne's blog for quite some time now, and over at Man with Muckrake, too, because he's been very critical of the Republican Party and how rightward it's turned, and it's disappointed him tremendously, like it has all the rest of us and most of the people out there that are listening today. Wayne, when did you decide that you've had enough or that the Republican Party had gone overboard?
Well, I can remember very well back in the late 80s, early 90s, of this new radio host called Rush Limbaugh. And as he's starting off and ranting and raving, I'm thinking to myself, well, that's not right. You know, this isn't accurate. And, of course, he was playing on every racial aspect. I can remember very well, and I hope I don't offend anybody with this, but these are Rush's words, that back in the early 90s that he could end all unemployment. You know, just do this one thing that he recommends, and we can end all unemployment, just right, because he's that brilliant. All we had to do was expand the NBA by 100,000 teams.
Oh, God. Yeah, I remember that.
I was going to say, and we can interject all that little secret underlying meaning of what he was saying there. The problem is, you know, this segment of the population, which, number one, I grew up in Maryland, and matter of fact, Cambridge, Maryland, not too far from was where my farm is, and it was back in 67 when H. Rhett Brown, and there was a racial riot there, and then Governor Spiro Agnew came there. And then that's when he decided he was going to be hard on, you know, this aspect. Mm-hmm. And once he did that, then the Republican Party sent him all over the South to change all these blue dog Democrats into Republicans.
Right.
And
that's part of Nixon's Southern strategy that he used with in conjunction with Agnew.
Absolutely. And, you know, when he started doing this, it came to the attention in newspaper articles to a speechwriter to Nixon, which was Pat Buchanan, and brought Agnew to Nixon's attention and brought him in then as his vice president. Of course, it wasn't but, you know, 4 years later that, you know, he was getting kickbacks from contractors and still, and that basically, you know, you want this contract, you know, my price is this. He was that blatant.
Exactly. Yeah, he had to resign in disgrace, remember, in 1973?
Being a Marylander, we remember that all very well.
Yeah, my God. Isn't it amazing? In those days, well, there's always been corruption in government, but, I mean, it came to a head in the early, mid-70s. The first year was, of course, Agnew resigning, and then Gerald Ford being named his replacement. And then, of course, the year after that, Nixon resigned. So, I mean, it was pretty pathetic. It was a pretty dark time for American politics.
It was.
You can't make this stuff up, right? I mean, if this is a Baiting Place or something like that, it would never fly because it was unbelievable, right?
Right. Yeah, it's pretty strange. And you know, so you remained a Republican, though. You were hoping this was an aberration, and you remained a Republican into the Ronald Reagan administration. Is that correct?
Well, even continuing on, someone here, you know, like 5 years ago asked me, because I was, you know, pointing out and exposing what I know to be a fact. I worked very well hand-in-hand with, he was a moderate Republican congressman from the 1st District of Maryland. His name was Wayne Gilchrist. Very honorable man, refused PAC money, things like that. But his downfall was at the rise, a few years ago, at the rise of the Tea Party, and he voted to bring the troops home, breaking with the ranks of the Republican, voting with the Democrat. He himself was a Vietnam vet, to bring home the troops from Iraq. And the retribution was they went after him. And now we have this right-wing wingnut representing that area now. And it's really a sad day for the Eastern Shore of Maryland.
It really is. I'm sorry to hear that that happened. You know, when you lose a good, a common sense, moderate Republican that believes in wholeheartedly in coming to compromises and working across the aisle, and you lose him to a rabid hardcore, never say die, dyed in the wool Tea Party goof. You know, I mean, there's no excuse for that. It's terrible. It's really anti-democratic with a small D, not a big D.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a big D as well.
Well, in 2008, down here...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Gwen.
Well, in 2008, you actually saw down here in South Florida, a lot of actual older Republicans did vote for Barack Obama. Because they couldn't see, especially, and we lost some of the most the lousiest of the Tea Party. I think was actually the fellow from my neighborhood here who we lost, Alan West.
Alan West, good.
You know,
glad
these,
he's gone.
These folks get in for a season and they show their ass. You should pardon my French.
And it
comes back around at them. This is what's happened. This is what's going on. And it's also there's another theme here too that is one that a lot of folks are beginning to work with and talk about, especially in indie radio and on blogs. And that's the collaboration between all of us thinkers who are, you know, see the light in the sky and through the trees on what's happening with our leadership, which I always put in parentheses because I don't find it real true leadership anymore.
No, they're co-opted. They're all co-opted by corporations, and they're all bought out and in varying degrees. You know, you don't get a pure for-the-people politician anymore, with very rare exception. Maybe the one notable exception would be Bernie Sanders up in Vermont, and maybe in certain respects Ron Wyden out in Oregon. The rest of them, man, or Al Franken here in Minnesota, but very few of them are really really dedicated to the people or to the ideals of good government anymore.
I'd like to interject here too: is Carl Rowe, I just read here, and of course, you know, like I said, still being a Republican, I've kept to being a Republican because it tweaks the nerves. I'll say it kind of kindly like that. It tweaks the nerves of all those who really I want to go after, and that's the extremism in my Republican Party.
Yeah, you know, they stole it from you. You stand firm and take it back, man. I urge you to stand, make your stand, and do that. And you're doing that every time, every week, every day in your column, in your blog, and in Man with the Muckrake as well. I mean, you're doing it every day in your own way, and that we encourage that.
I also saw here that Karl Rowe is building a huge war chest. Mm-hmm. Not to go after the Democrats like, you know, he did here,
right.
But first off, to go after the Tea Party membership because they see that extremism has cost them elections.
Right.
Which, you know, and, you know, I really hope he fails to an extent only because...
he's Karl Rove.
He's Karl Rove, right?
His brand of neoconism has ruined, has provided the platform for this kind of Tea Party
extremism.
Shenanigans. Yeah.
They embraced that rabid dog because it was always a guaranteed Republican vote.
Mm-hmm.
But now that it's costing them, they're finding out that this rabid dog is turning on them.
Right.
Then what he's trying to do is, you know, re-purge and back out.
Well, I had the suspicion early on that the Tea Party was going to overwhelm the moderate Republicans and basically make them very regretful that they ever teamed up with them in the first place. And that's exactly what's happened.
Well stated. And I think, as you've read my blog, and I've stated on both my blog, Engineer of Knowledge, and also Man with the Mudrake, is I've always stated extremism in any direction of the spectrum has no longevity.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, you got to wave yourself across one side to the other of the broad middle ground. You don't have to be solidly in the center all the time, but, you know, you have to wave back and forth, but you can't go off the edge of the table either.
Right. I quoted with someone the other day that basically taking the line from the old Bird song, I was so much older then, I'm younger than that now.
Right.
My viewpoints have, you know, mellowed, and I am more to the left now than I ever was.
Right, I understand.
As a reaction to overcompensate for the extremism that my Republican Party has gone.
Well, they've pushed the whole political spectrum in this country, both Democratic and Republican, far to the right of where it used to be. When a year and a half or a couple years back, I did a series of columns on the 1960 Republican platform when Richard Nixon opposed John Kennedy. And it was unbelievable to see what they were adopting in their plank that year. I mean, it would be regarded as Republican heresy today because it was so far to the left of where they are today. And I looked at it as being pretty mainstream back then.
Well, the one who really started the extremism was, of course, Barry Goldwater, who made a statement, something to the fact that any means to pushing forward to conservative was no extreme at all.
Right. Yeah. Well, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, is what he said. And
there you go.
But you know, again, it's extremism, and there's no place for it because it doesn't include the vast amount of people. It seeks to isolate them and grab power for itself, and itself is a very dangerous, malignant type of force that needs to be kept in check.
Absolutely, go ahead, Gwen, please.
It basically, though, too, it is dusting people leadership off that's coming from what would be considered at this point the opposite side of the spectrum, which I don't find so, you know, extreme. I think that it's insanity to go in any other direction. But to take what is called the extreme left position of, you know, reformation of banking, reformation of military, reformation of, because all of these things are what bedrock all of the problems we're having with climate change man-made.
Yes, and I would vote for every one of those plank aspects, you know?
Well,
I don't regard them as extreme either. They're common sense is what they are.
Absolutely.
Well, they're common sense for the point of being a generations builder and the longevity of humanity on this planet, I think. Mm-hmm. I really consider and think that that's a truth. Mm-hmm. I don't think, though, that everyone would be so easy to agree with, you know. I'm thinking that nationalism is causing us more problems than one world in would be, you know, but that's a dream. You can thank the neocons for that.
Yeah. They've still got their influence.
Right, right. Well, actually, that's the other thing why I'm kind of Karl Rove versus, the working middle class. The attitude is that, you know, the working middle class, to those who Karl Rove represents and who he's getting his funding from, we are nothing more than the ELOs to their Morlocks. We are the fodder for them to devour and consume, and the separation of those who have and those who have not will only get wider under that kind of a mentality.
Yeah, I'm glad you realize that. It's very true, no doubt about it. Hey, tell us a little bit about, now, your family goes way back in the Republican Party. Did your ancestors, start right at the very beginning in the pre-Abraham Lincoln days or through the Civil War and all that stuff too, or how did that work?
Absolutely. It was basically at the time of when West Virginia seceded from the state of Virginia.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the Civil War, yeah.
Beginning of the Civil War, and, with the mindset that, you know, no, it is not right. You cannot own another person. You cannot sell off their children as if they were cattle.
They
are still human beings. And from that point on, of course, you also have the Teddy Roosevelt aspects of you have
to progressivism.
That's fair, right? That predatory capitalism cannot be sustained.
Right. Very good. Yeah. I those are the kind of Republicans I like the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ones that see the light and that are fair-minded and not gobbled up by a conservative, overly conservative moneyed interests, you know what I mean?
And let's go on up here to Eisenhower, who
yes.
created the biggest infrastructure of our highways and stuff, employing, you know, there was a depression, a recession, I'll call it, in the beginning of the 50s. I had two uncles that both had to come to work, had to leave their families in West Virginia and work in Ohio because that's where the paycheck was being able to support their families. The stimulus aspect, which is exactly what the president is offering right now, rebuilding bridges. My father also worked for the was part of the 3Cs, the Civilian Conservation Corps under Franklin Roosevelt. And basically, you worked, you got a small, spending money, right? But the majority went home to your parents to make sure the needs of them and the siblings that they had were able to eat, keep warm, and things like that. It worked really
well.
I had
three uncles involved in the CCC, and it helped our family immensely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was the saving factor for them. And I was a regional sales manager. And there were four of us covered the whole United States. And one of the territories I had was the Minnesota territory, Minneapolis, St. Paul, land there.
Oh,
and go on in. And I had a very good customer over at Chippewa Falls. And the bridge that collapsed there, couldn't go over the river there, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have seen that. I think I went over it once, unbeknownst to myself how dangerous it was. The salesman with the rep firm that I had in that area said, no, we're not going to go over that because that shouldn't even be, they shouldn't even let traffic over it right now. It was about a few years later that it actually collapsed and killed several people.
Yes, exactly. That was a tragedy. And, you know, it's so unnecessary, and it was just, you know, the Republican governor in this state at the time was Tim Pawlenty, and he kind of basically tried to, put it under the rug and hush-hush it. But he basically, he gutted the funds that were necessary for inspection, and he's partly to blame for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, well, another one is I'm now doing working out here in Ohio. I design substations, and I'm thinking to myself here, the stimulus package where they wanted to build a light rail from Columbus up to Cleveland, and how much that would have you know, like the pebble in the lake, right, and all the ripples going out, how much economic stimulus that would be for Ohio.
Right, but Kasich put the kibosh on that, didn't he?
Wasn't that the most short-sighted aspect? And it was nothing more than to tweak the president's nose.
Oh, exactly.
Because he had proposed it.
I know, it's so pathetic. You know, they're not even thinking in terms of the good of the people anymore. They're thinking in terms of political revenge and pettiness. And the same thing with Hagel being held up in the Senate. That's strictly John McCain being petty and being vengeful that he got beat by Barack Obama. It's just pathetic.
Absolutely. Well, really, John McCain. I am a Vietnam
veteran.
Right, he is a dinosaur. I had a lot of respect for him at one time.
Yes,
but
way back
when.
When
he came up with Sarah Palin, that was
mm-hmm.
such a deal breaker for me because I thought,
yeah.
why did you need this, you know, shrieking shrew?
Yeah,
who was totally, I mean, ignorant, even you know, of basic history.
Mm-hmm.
He got sold a bag of goods there.
He sure did, yeah.
He wasn't bright enough to
check it out.
He got PR'd into that one by who he thought was going to get him into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And once he made the choice, he's one of these people that I've sat and talked with John McCain years ago. And at
mm-hmm.
the time, I didn't agree with everything he said because I was, you know, a liberal, if you will. However,
yeah.
I liked John McCain.
Well, he had a certain amount of realism and truism in him, but that's gone now.
Very direct.
Yeah.
Said, don't ask me any questions about the SNL. Please just don't ask me anything else. Just don't. And he put that right on the table with us. And then he
mm-hmm.
answered any question we had. I really liked him.
Mm-hmm.
I trusted him too. I trusted him to be, you know, honest. And
yeah.
that all changed when they did what they did to him from the Bush group, the
mm-hmm.
Karl Rove group.
Oh yeah,
well,
2000.
When he ran against W. Bush in 2000, he was winning some primaries. Well, then that's
right.
when the rumor machine was. He adopted this young black child, raised her as his own. And then, of course, there was the rumor machine being generated by, you know, the Republican Party. They basically went after him, making it appear that he had a relationship with a black woman, and this was the illegitimate
yeah.
child from that relationship. And I
yeah.
thought, how pathetic.
Well, yeah, it's based in racism. Like this anti-Obama stuff is based in racism, too. Let's be honest about it. That's exactly what it is.
You know,
and it's so pointless and so stupid. Let's get past all that, guys.
You know,
and let's get what's good for the people out there.
The thing is that I don't think for 1 minute that John McCain, honestly, is any kind of a real racist at all.
No, but as long as it's anti-Obama, he'll
yeah,
jump on that bandwagon no matter what it is.
It's a political thing.
That's his job right now.
Yeah, right.
That's his job.
Yeah. And he wants to punish Chuck Hagel because Hagel, you know, he's quite a war hawk too, you know, and Hagel,
mm-hmm.
You know, abandoned most of the Republicans during the Bush era. On the Iraq war, and he's not going to let him get away with that. He's going to punish
yeah.
him the rest of his life for that.
And hindsight, we can look back, him not, you know, not wanting us to go down that rabbit hole,
right.
like Alice in Wonderland, right? The man
yeah.
was correct, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so it's six of one and half a dozen of another with these guys. One thing we can all agree on, I'm sure, is that the Republican Party has just—it's been devoured. I call it infested with Tea Party
mm-hmm.
members, and they are destroying that party from the inside out. They're eating it up, and they're throwing it all away. And it's just
yeah.
ridiculous what they've done to it. And they're trying to shift that across the whole political spectrum. And they're engaging in obstruction and anything it'll take to keep the Democratic agenda from passing. And
right.
you know, that's not even honest. It's not even good government.
Well, it makes it very difficult for people who have usually come from the independent point of view politically, who have always been members of the activist communities and those people who are generally have stood at the forefront of environmentalism and Earth Day and all of those good things. Basically, these folks are you know, pushed back into, I mean, I'm an occupier. I'm very, very supportive of Anonymous and WikiLeaks. And, you know, basically the tenets of what I learned in school, we don't teach anybody, you know, what American politics are supposed to be based in anymore anyways. I mean, civics is a thing of that's gone. But all of these folks are now to the point where they think that Republican and Democratic dynamics, a two-party, you know, back and forth, it has become nothing but corporate toadyism, and it's ruined the country. And, and they have excellent reasons for thinking that way. The proof is on the plate.
Oh, exactly. It's abundantly out there. There's no doubt about it, and anybody that disputes that is either a corporate agent or they're blind. What more can we say?
We're talking about really great politicians that we do, like Bernie Sanders. We have a fellow down here in Tampa who's really great, Grayson.
He's awesome.
He's back up there now.
Yeah.
And we can only hope that he opens his mouth with sheer fearlessness.
Right.
Well, that's what's needed right now in the Republican Party, someone to stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong, this is not the direction we need to be going. Let me quote a little bit of Truman, who said, the only thing new is the history you haven't learned, and let's now take this to the Tea Party. The Koch brothers, who are funding the Tea Party, and those who follow call themselves the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Back in the early 60s, their father started what was called the John Birch Society, and those followers were called the Minuteman.
Yes, that's right. And John and William F. Buckley Jr. had the common sense to shut those guys down before they destroyed the Republican Party.
Yes, at that time, that's right.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And the thing was, and the John Birch Society was nothing more than the regathering under a different name, the old Klansmen in the South.
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, their agenda was that everybody was a communist and suspect, and you've got to keep your eye on everybody. They even intimated that Eisenhower was a communist.
I'm trying to think on whose blog it was, but anyway, it was basically might have been Microdots, but basically, it was the poster put out by their father, Koch, and it was wanted for communism and traitor to the country. And they had JFK's picture, right, and all this ultra-liberal stuff. You know, he's trying to make it.
He picked up all of his clues from Herr Goebbels. I mean, you know, this is a family who were, you know, tied into the Nazi Party. And basically, you know, their aunt was the only woman put on trial for their she's the gal with the human skin lampshade. You remember? Coke.
Yeah.
Ilsa.
Yeah, that's right.
And Auntie Ilsa.
Yeah.
I mean, I've sat down at the table with some very freaky relatives, you know. But that, honey, I would be checking everything.
Well, you know, the whole thing is it's a very cynical movement. It's very anti-democracy in nature and in tone, and it's just like flamethrowers. These guys are very dangerous, and that they're accepted or even taken seriously in the media, they're starting to lose that aura. But thank God, because prior to now, they were, you know, CNN actually gave them airtime to talk about it in a rebuttal phase last time. That was ridiculous.
Wasn't that a joke? Yeah. Well, again, that just demonstrates, the civil war now that is going on in the Republican Party.
That's very true. That's very true. Yep, that's right.
Well,
I did a post on that a couple weeks ago.
And communications,
very well written.
Communications and media is not what it was. I mean, you know, there was a glory that was Fourth Estate on and off, but Hearst and Murdoch have won the day as far as large media. I mean, there's no such thing as paid correspondence left anymore. Everything is canned.
Yeah, and it's terrible.
It's all, you know, reduced to news is a product. And
and entertainment. It's got to be entertaining.
Well, go ahead, Gwen.
No, go on. I'm sure you've got something really good to say. Please.
Anyway, even self-admittedly, and like I'm not a big fan of O'Reilly, but what he said here, he hit it dead nuts. He said, making news for profit an entertainment aspect to bring in the sponsors and, you know, the demographic segment that they want to market to has ruined broadcast news as we once knew it under Huntley and Brinkley and Walter Cronkite. You know, that era, you sat down from the TV and you trusted what Walter Cronkite told you that night.
Yeah, because it was without political agenda. It was an honest, accurate viewing of what was presented to him in his research and in his findings.
The search for the truth.
You know, and the same thing was true of Huntley and Brinkley, but not anymore. Yeah. Not today. Everybody's got their own political agenda, and it's in their slant, and it's pretty ridiculous.
These guys were, you know, these guys were on the heels of Murrow. And Murrow stood up.
Oh, Murrow was outstanding.
Murrow, and he was the hero of my hero, which is a guy I wish would get back on the air fast. I wish he put himself on the air, even if it was YouTube, and that's Oberman.
Oh, yeah. I wish he was on the air still, too. He had a way of getting cutting right to the gist of it all, and He didn't waste time with it. He got right to the point of it. It was great.
Well, he explained it. He explained it to you, and he kept due diligence with what.
Yeah, well,
he
sized it up accurately, and then he presented it accurately. I mean, what more can you ask for?
No, you're right.
He has his agenda. There is no denying that. But so did Walter Cronkite when he went to Vietnam. So did Murrow when he stood up and said, enough of this with
McCarthy. Yeah. But you know what? They were absolutely correct, every one of them in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, where do you point and see any of that right now? On the news masts that are up there right now. Can anybody tell me, do you see on the mastheads of any of the mainstream media that kind of integrity? Really?
No, you've got to see it with Amy Goodman. She's always honest and legitimate. And, you know, she's unfortunately got a very small readership and a very small listenership. But she's out there, and she's one to look at, and she's one to pay attention to. And at various times, Rachel Maddow does the same thing, and Ed Schultz at times.
Maddow is a great educator, but she's bought and paid for, I think, more or less. But she will actually say she is. So you know, she's doing a job that she's getting paid to do, and she does it very well.
She does.
She has actually come out in the last couple of
segments.
Tom Hartman. John O'Brien in the chat room has just brought Tom Hartman up. But thank you,
Tom.
John
Hartman's awesome.
He is awesome. There's others out there, but these are not the people that you're seeing. We need new mastheads, and
they're not mainstream. They're not mainstream enough.
The sellout that went on with Current from that yo-yo, the turncoat fella, the VP who used to be, I think it's just fabulous. I am looking forward to seeing Al Jazeera on my regular screen, you know, in the evening. I think Al Jazeera should get Wise, too, and give Overman a job.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
I myself like the BBC and then also public broadcasting. I figure, you know, as far as, you know, what you're seeing here, BBC America, and things like that. I think, you know, it's the closest to being, these are the facts, period. We are presenting the facts.
And the Canadian broadcasting system had a good news program that we used to get here prior to Al Gore buying it up for Current.
Okay.
I'd like to see that reestablished.
The BBC, I always used to go to because they would at least give you the stories that this press will not give you because they're being told to quit. Let me tell you what, 35,000 people on the mall today in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and MSNBC Live didn't break in with it once. I'm sure.
You know, you'll see it on Link TV, smaller things like that. I'm sure the Al Jazeera section on Link TV will feature that.
There you go. Because
You know Al Jazeera is going to be featuring it.
But Brian Williams won't be doing much on it. Of course, I don't like Brian Williams. He's a real Karl Rove fan. But neither will Diane Sawyer.
They're all bought out. They're all too court. They're all too mainstream.
It won't be put on their desk. It won't be put before them, you know?
Right.
I can remember listening to Barbara Walters' lecture at Cornell, and she was talking about the woman's role in breaking in to, you know, media journalism and what wonderful avenues were open. And she was a real inspiration at one time, and now, you know, it's like, wow, what happened?
Yeah. I didn't have much time for her ever. But I understand where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, but, all the glitters isn't gold.
No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Look, talking here.
What's that?
Go ahead. I said, always loved R.R. Tolkien. She quoted Lord of the Rings, yes.
I would love to know, just to highlight Engineer of Knowledge, the blog itself. What is your last post on?
My last post was on West Virginia. Like I said, my father's side of the family is from West Virginia. My grandfather was a union coal miner. I myself am old enough to remember the non-union coal mines and the economic enslavement of those who owed their soul to the company.
Oh, my God, that's tough stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The poverty, the economic enslavement and the poverty they held those people down under.
Oh, yeah.
I see with the corporate, predatory capitalism that we're seeing so much now among the industry today, basically that coming back. I can give you an example. A company I work for started off, the man who owned the company, we had what was called profit sharing.
Mm-hmm.
When the company made profit, that's what he shared with each and every individual who worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by the time he sold the company to investment bankers, and then they kept it for 5 years and sold it to another. Well, in 2004, when you had the Republican Congress, Senate, and the White House, they changed the law to say any profit sharing that the working class had was really profits of the company. You bought the company. Those profits are yours. Many people who I worked with for 15, 20 years and stuff saw a third of their retirement removed from that because they said, we bought the company, this was profits of the company,
ergo, that's criminal.
This is ours, right? Oh, no, it's legal. They passed it.
I know, but in my ethically, it's
absolutely
criminal.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the point I want to make.
Right.
There, you know, when you talk about the war on the middle class, we didn't declare it. This is the kind of predatory aspects and that we've seen.
Yes, and you know what? Yeah. It doesn't need to be. That's just greed is all it is. It's pure unadulterated greed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we need a
change in mind shift beginning at the business college level so they don't instill this kind of greediness in their students. They need the students to come out of there with an open mind and with a correct mind, as a correct mindset, and realize that absolute, total, thorough 100% profit isn't always the best way to go. You need to make room for the community, for your working force, for the environment, for all kinds of other people that need to be addressed and taken care of as well as the stockholders.
Let me give you another example. Again, when I was a regional sales manager in flying, United was having, this was after 9/11, and United was having cash flow problems. Mm-hmm. And I was catching a hop from L.A. up to San Jose. The airline hostess, she was just human. She sat next to me. She was just catching a hop up to San Jose. And she was saying that those airline hostesses took like a 40% pay cut trying to keep United afloat. The pilots took close to 25 to 30% pay cut because, you know, the corporate executives are saying, you know, this is what we need from the union, right? We need this from the union. They agreed to it.
And they stuck it in their pocket.
And there was, their ink wasn't even dry on the new signed contract, and all the upper management awarded themselves hundreds of million dollars in profit because they did a good job in getting concessions from the union.
Yeah, that's, you know what, that's the wrong way to go.
It is. But there's stuff going on.
It's immoral.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep, exactly. You know, we have a big, big, big pie in this country, and everybody can have, and beyond that, everybody deserves at least a sizable portion of that pie. It doesn't have to go all to one little group or one little class. It can be divvied up very nicely, much more evenly.
Well, what's happened here, I think, is something that from my own community, you know, my walk in life, if you will, it's about humanity losing a grasp on our humanity itself. Mm-hmm. Our values are what we vote for, and our values are who we are, and that's a spiritual thing, not a religious thing, a spiritual thing.
Right.
We are, as Native, our First Nations peoples will say, walk your talk.
Mm-hmm.
And people are basically devoid of that kind of integrity. It's been lost. Besides, you can see it in not in all kids. And it's mostly lost from people who once held it very, you know, very clearly in mind. I mean,
they got bought out. They got corrupted.
They did. I mean, and I did come from a Republican conservative family, and that conservatism was, I came from a privileged side of the road, and I was always raised that privilege came because of my community, and therefore it was my duty to give back to that community.
Very good,
Because that was how that is how things are done. And as Bobby Kennedy says, that is good economics. That is the economics that really works.
Yep.
Right.
What goes around, it comes around. In
it
a
sure does.
Very good way. And people have lost. That's the thing here. People have lost, and you could see it. I mean, I remember watching in the first election when John McCain was with a group of people and they were all coming down on Obama, and this one lady said, you know, and she was obviously...
He's an Arab.
Yeah, this one lady was very fear-based, and she said, he's not American, he's a terrorist. McCain was actually taken aback by it. I saw his eyes change.
Yeah, I saw that too.
He said,
yeah.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. That
no,
is,
he's a good man, a good husband, a good father.
And my opponent here. And
he just happened to disagree.
Yes.
That was the John McCain I had a lot of respect for and could have voted for. All right.
Yeah.
When he got her stopped, like, lady, you are just spewing bull crap, right? Insanity.
Right.
And she was taken back that he just publicly, in front of everybody, denounced her.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was fighting a huge decline in people at that point because of all of this terrible. I mean, I don't know if anybody remembers, but it got really outrageous prior to the first election. And there were people, including myself, because I worked very hard to elect President Obama the first time out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I was wondering how safe he really was, because mm-hmm. it had gotten so out of hand. Now, I didn't particularly see that as Mr. McCain, as I did see the people he put his trust in, including having mm-hmm. something on board dragging his heels back, like the lady that lives in Alaska.
Yeah, crazy.
And
she was just an opportunist that grabbed onto something, and it dazzled her. And she loved all the lights on her, and she loved attention is what she loved. And
she
now
so
she
does.
Doesn't have it anymore. She must be in pure hell right now because she doesn't have the cameras following her all around and the lights, bright lights on her all the time. She must be absolutely miserable, I couldn't be happier about that.
I'll tell you what, I think it simply boils down to something very base, and that's greed.
Oh, exactly.
People want their 15 minutes, and
yeah.
It's something that has, it's a disease. It's a
mm-hmm.
dis-ease with humanity. And
sure is.
In whole. It's this mm-hmm. 15 minutes, and it's not enough to be part of it. It's like you and I, Jack, we come on. We're a little show. A couple thousand people might listen
sure.
to us this week. If 20 go out and repeat something that we thought was enlightened,
right.
We've done a big thing now.
Yes, exactly. And we're going to keep on trucking, too.
Yeah, and people who have lost that understanding that the one affects the many,
mm-hmm.
that we all make a difference. This is what people have lost. They've lost their
We
value.
Do make a difference. You know, Rosa Parks made a big difference just by being a lady who would not be kowtowed to anymore, be pushed around anymore. And
she was so smart and said, no, I'm not going to do this anymore.
Exactly right. They threw her in jail, and she had a little trouble from it. But you know what? It launched the civil rights movement, and look where that ended up. It put a black in the White House. Incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's
absolutely
yeah.
incredible. So right. people, don't ever feel that your efforts don't matter. Even in small ways, they can be very effective, and they can work with other people to create big effects. And so never be kowtowed by anybody. If, you know, state your case, make your point, and be sure to take a stand and do something. Be active.
And the other thing is, too, it's crossing lines. All of the people today that I know, and while we were talking on the radio here, Jack, Julia gave us a text saying, howdy, and thanks for all the support that she's gotten from everyone.
Hi, Julian. Week. Thanks for your efforts.
The point is that, oh, my goodness, I have puppy trouble.
Oh.
I got a growler here.
Oh, my.
You stop that.
Geez, I've been having so much fun. We're almost at the end of our hour, hour too.
I actually put us on for 90 minutes just in case. But.
Okay, well, I will depart from here within a few minutes, but I want to publicly thank Wayne Johnson for taking the time to be on this week. And, Wayne, dial in anytime and leave comments and take part again. We very much enjoyed having you on the show today, and we look forward to future participation, too.
Well, I do, too. I think what when you made me this offer, number one, like I said, I was very honored, and I saw it as an extension of my blog to be able to, what
yeah.
I'm about is getting out the truth, letting people know what
right.
you're hearing is not accurate.
Exactly right.
This is another voice to do that. And to go back to the Rosa Parks aspects or, you know, no one is so small that you can't make an effect. From my science background, we call that the butterfly effect.
Very true.
Go.
Very, very true. Yep. Very
there
true.
There you go.
Just the wings
awesome.
Of a butterfly, right, can ripple across the whole continent.
Very, very good point. Very good, Wayne. That's awesome. Incredible. Well, I encourage everybody to read A Man with the Muckrake, which Wayne is on occasionally, plus Engineer of Knowledge. That's his blog. And of course, the Roundtree 7, which has a lot of great writing on it by a whole host of writers. Sometimes I'm on it. A lot of times Gwen is. David Krell, he's on it. David Williams, he's on it a lot. And Al Osori's on it. And there's always thought-provoking. And Stimson, there's always good writers out there. There's tons of them out there, folks. Get involved. Check it out. And communicate. That's the whole thing. Communicate and act.
awaken one another.
That's right.
The big thing, awaken one another. We have a caller. I'm going to answer the phone and let the caller come on. Let's hope we don't get a troll.
Okay, right.
Well, no, that's what I specialize in, debunking the trolls.
Hello, caller.
Hey, Gwen. Hey, hey, I can be a troll if you want me to. Hey, Jack.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, very good. Hey, Jack, I know you said you were on your way out of here, so that invoked me to call.
Yeah, so, well, I'm glad you called in today, buddy.
Yeah, you like Palin as much as I do. So,
I think we all agree on that.
Yeah, I'm glad she got fired.
So do I. So am I.
Yeah, so I want to ask you this. So why the hell would Fox hire Kane in her stead? I mean, what the hell is up with them?
When you get it figured out, man, tell me about it, because I never
can
figure those guys out.
I can't.
They're still marketing to the Democratic audience that they have designed their segment to.
Yep.
It's still the extremism. It's still the nihilistic believers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and, yeah, where Sarah Palin has had her 15 minutes of fame and basically has run its course,
mm-hmm.
it's the Me Too of the continuation of that nihilistic aspect.
Yeah, they'll always get some knucklehead to come get on there and say the same type of stuff. It's all
very
stupid.
It's the people who are basically Fox viewers, from my experience in noticing. The majority of Fox viewers are people who are addicted to fear. That's
exactly.
They like that drama.
They're very ignorant.
Yeah.
Very ignorant, and they don't want to know the real truth. They just don't want to dig too deep. They
well,
want to be fed. They want to be fed nonsense, and they'll go along with it.
But I got a couple very intelligent brothers who believe in this stuff.
Well, I've got a brother also too. That you know, the Drudge Report and the American Thinker. Let me interject here when I said American Thinker. Brother-in-law turned, you know, said, oh, you need to read this. And I said, look, okay, for fairness, I'll read it. And it was this time last year. And the very first article and the very big, you know, very first thing off was because Punxsutawney Phil, you know, saw or didn't see his shadow, that proved there was no global warming. And I thought, okay, you may have to explain this to me. How the superstitious myth of a glorified rodent, right, proves there's no global warming.
Yeah,
so.
Well.
Yeah,
typical.
Cold today, so that means
it's typical.
No global warming.
Now, Jim, I got to tell you, and ladies and gentlemen who are listening in, this is Jim Joyner, whose blog is called Average
American Patriot.
Patriot,
yep.
And you should check him out. Boy, it's really old home week around here today. basically, I don't mean to diminish anybody's intelligence or say that they're stupid. I say that they may not want to be enlightened about
right.
what the facts
no.
are because they choose to have this drama. It's fun to be afraid. My God, I know people who sit at bar rails all weekend long and ram-a-lam-a-bama because it feels good, you know?
Yeah,
that kind of addiction is what I'm talking about, Jim. It's not about their intelligence. It's about what they choose to feel like.
Well, I don't know, man. I tend to think it's got something to do with their intelligence, too.
I think it does, too. With that, I'll bid you all adieu. Thanks, and have a great week, everybody.
Well,
talk to you next week.
On. I enjoyed it.
Yep. Okay, nice to talk with you, Wayne. Bye-bye now.
Yeah,
see you, Jim.
Now.
Bye, Gwen.
Good night, Jack.
See you, Jack. But, you know, Gwen, I was floored when I was talking to my son, the one that's in Afghanistan right now, and he said, people don't like Obama because he's a Muslim. And I couldn't believe that people, my own son.
Thinks he's a Muslim. Right.
They say that, and my other son's a card-carrying, gun-toting Republican. And I'm ashamed to even have to try to repeat some of the things he says. I mean, it's unbelievable to think that people are ever going to change their minds. Forget it.
that generation has heard a whole slew of decade after decade of Rush Limbaugh's spewing hate. And, of course, the Me Toos, who saw the marketing, wealth that was derived from that and emulated that. And, you know, if that's what you're hearing, especially in the military, too, they tend to be in the conservative aspect. And just like in, I don't want to offend anybody, but like in Vietnam, you referred to your enemy as gooks. You dehumanized them. That way, that gave you, you know, the ability to, you know, fire back. And this is the same thing that our military has to deal with, too. You have to dehumanize your opponent. That way, you can, you know, fire back at them.
Well, speaking of that, gentlemen, I would challenge you on this level. What do you think the Department of Homeland Security has done to our cosmopolitan police forces, especially through the occupying, all of the occupations this last year?
Not
go ahead. Again, it's us against them kind of a mentality.
Yeah.
They're there to, you know, keep the peace and stuff, and these are troublemakers. You know, it was no different than the Democratic Convention up in Chicago when the police came out and just, you know, billy clubbed those who were demonstrating.
That's right, they did. And there were servicemen, lots of servicemen who basically came out and marched in that anti-rally that the occupiers and others were doing during that. And they gave their medals back. I'll never forget that. I don't think that any service person would do something like that lightly, ever. I mean, you know, I still got my dad's Bronze Star from World War II. You know, I mean, I wouldn't give that up. I really wouldn't.
No, I have a lot of respect for those who served. I myself served. And, you know, I guess I give them a little more leeway because I know what they went through. I know it took me 5 years to come home, you know, type of an aspect mentally. And, you know, it's when you're put in that situation and then all of a sudden you're brought home and you're supposed to leave a normal life, well, you don't even remember what a normal life was.
It's true. And that us versus them, David's in the chat, and he made the comment that keeping the atmosphere of us versus them manufactured a little bit of consent, and you can get the masses to do just about anything. Yeah, if everybody, look how 9/11 happened, and we were all actually encouraged to go shopping. Instead of, you know, I mean, look at what they did during World War II. They gave up so much for the greater war effort. There is nothing a group of people can't accomplish with the proper goals, you know, or being just asked to contribute. I mean, that's what community is about, and that's the other thing that we have lost sight of, our values, our humanity, and the sense of community that we, I mean, there's more sense of community on virtual communities right now than there is in many towns and cities. I'm going to touch on that one.
Well, Gwen, I want to thank you very much. I myself have to bow out, and I enjoyed this very much. And,
we're happy to have you today. Very happy to have you. Thank you for coming on, Wayne. Please, folks, go and check out the engineerofknowledge.wordpress.com. I hope you'll come back and spend some time with us.
Invite me anytime, and you know, I would love to come back. Absolutely. I think you were doing some good work here.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Take care, Wayne.
Take care, Jim.
We went a little bit over, Jim, but
yeah, well, we always do when I get involved for whatever reason.
I know what you're saying about your sons, and I know that's kind of it's played Mary Hell with you for a while.
Oh yeah.
You can't understand, but you know, people change. Their experiences change them, and you just never know what's going to happen, especially to people who are involved in conflicts ongoing, like your son being in Afghanistan. I mean, and that's got to keep you on the edge of your emotions a lot.
Well, his brother's rushing to go right now, and if this, he's the one that's the card-carrying, gun-toting Republican. He's the one that scares me. And now that I know where he's going and what he's going to be doing, yeah, I'm very concerned.
Oh, dear. Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know, there's a very dear friend of mine up in Massachusetts. Her grandson was a wonderful high school football player there in Braintree, and he decided he was actually scholarship material. He was going to get his scholarship to college, and a recruiter came, of course, to the high school and talked him into the Marines. And unbeknownst to his mother or his grandmother or anybody else, he joined up because there was that gloss for him to follow, you know.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's scary.
Yes, it is.
The people, intelligent people, especially intelligent people, are often the first ones to be fooled. Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I can attest to that. I'll come to it.
People, I don't know. Like when it comes to politics, I don't know. It seems like all common sense is set aside, and
I don't.
Intelligent people just do say, do and believe in stupid things. I think it was you that just said, you know, I don't like to say stupid, but they believe in some stupid things. I don't know who I was talking to. I just actually said something to, you know, on Roundtree because I've been watching shows all day today, and every time a Republican was asked, Obama's going to propose this, how do you think it's going to come over? Every damn one of them said dead on arrival.
Yeah,
and
I heard that too.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I just looked at an article another proposal with Rubio, and they asked him, how do you think it's going to come over? And he said, dead on arrival. What the heck? How the F do these people get away with this crap?
Well,
and
I would come back. I would say the same thing because I've seen, you know, Marco Rubio down here. People know him as a liar. He fibbed incredibly about his background to make himself seem to be somebody he was not as a refugee from Cuba. He has the typical stink of Republican corporate toadyism all over him from the South Florida area.
Yeah, typical Republican lust for lion. I mean,
it's quite true. What was your last post about? What's the name of your last post, Jim?
Wow. It wasn't even about us. I couldn't even tell you.
Oh, come on now. I'm giving you a plug here so we can send some folks over to Average American Patriot.
Oh, you know, I'll tell you, I'm jumping around so much. It was about China joining
U.S.
and Japan and condemning North Korea's nuclear test. Actually, it wasn't even about us.
Well, yeah, but it's worthwhile going over and taking a look. You know I'm saying? It's good info.
Well, there's, you know, everybody keeps telling me, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's not, they're not going to do anything for you. I'm telling you.
Well, I wonder about that one myself. But actually, I had David point something out. Nuclear armament is about political diplomacy or strategy anymore. You don't really figure people are going to use those. They're just going to detonate them on their own soil to say, hey, look, this is what I've got, so back up or lift up. I'm not so sure I'm buying any of it because...
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be, but that's... But, you know, nuclear weapons used to be a deterrent. When I was in, that's what we were taught, that it's a deterrent. But I don't think so anymore. It seems to be today that they're going to... Somebody's going to use it. Somebody's going to use it. They're that stupid. And, I mean, look at the caliber of people that are getting their hands on them. North Korea?
Yeah, boy, you got to think. We are talking some serious go-go bozo,
I mean, Iran, who knows what they're really doing? I mean, if you trust them, you need your shorts changed. I mean...
Well, Iran is, you know, those folks are... I would say a little more dependable on certain strategies. Chess games are being performed there, but North Korea, they seem like a real wild card. I have to agree with you. And one of my Native American teachers, who I completely respect, but I was always but he was always very much, keep your eye on North Korea, don't trust them. And that was quite 15 years ago. hey, listen, you just never know. I do know this much, though, you can't live in a what-if world. You have to you have to make the world. You can't live in the state of what if, because that's how people who, like the people on Fox News, play people. They're what if-ing them, and you just can't live that way, and that's what waking up is about. You know, folks got to wake up, make a choice.
They're not going to.
I know you think that, but you just never know. You can't give up. You gotta keep walking straight, you know.
No, I'm not gonna give up, but they're not gonna wake up. I mean, when my son's if you listen to, they're hardcore, and I do mean hardcore.
Oh, I know. I've heard it. I've walked into play. I got a coin, you know. I've been in a few VFWs. That was a gift from a good buddy of mine who tended bar the VFW up in Linville, North Carolina. Ralph Holden gave me a coin that I can always use in a VFW because, you know, they'll never kick a woman out if you walk through the door.
Oh, really?
Never kicked out of a VFW. There's too many dry counties. Jim, it was a pleasure having you on with me today. Thanks for calling in, buddy. I appreciate it.
Always. Hey, I've been a little lax because, you know, you get busy or whatever and tied up, and it's easy not to pick up the phone. I know where you live.
Yeah. It's like WIOD.
But, all right, well.
I want to thank everybody who listened in today. Appreciate it. And I'd like to steer you all in the direction of a wonderful radio show. It's AWOP Radio. Just type AWOP Radio into your Google Finder bar, and you'll find Kim G. Publisher over there. She's putting on a really good show, a couple of them, and she has a site, which is you can just type this one in there, and she wants this to get legal, just like I do. And it's called Toke of the Town. So she's got a couple of projects going, and I want to thank him for stopping in today and listening to us. I see her in there. And that's all she wrote for today. We're out of here, huh?
Thank you, Gwen.
Hey, you're welcome. And folks, go on by and check out average American patriot. Jim writes some pretty damn fine stuff. Anyways, that's us this week on the Sunday show, thanking the engineer of knowledge for his contributions. Boy, it was old home week with all us old blogger people, huh?
Always good.
Okay. All right, we'll be back with you next Sunday for the Sunday show. And this is Gwen Berry from South Florida with Jim Joyner, who's up in Massachusetts, Yankee man. And we're saying thanks, John, for stopping in today, too. John O'Brien, see you there. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next Sunday. Yeah, Sunday. We'll do it then, 6 p.m. Good night, Jim. Thanks for
stopping.
Good night, Gwen. Bye-bye.